choir is still being seated, just remind you there is no children's church this morning. Everybody just stay in here and listen to me. All right? Amen?
Amen.
Amen there. I hope I get one. All right. Oh, it's good. It's good to see all of you here. It's good to see this crowd this morning. Enjoy this day. As Scripture says, this is the day the Lord has made, and we are to rejoice and be glad in it. So as we look at our Scriptures today, the Lord is risen. Savior is risen. He's alive. And our message title this morning is The Risen Christ Transforms Life. And I certainly hope you have been transformed by your relationship with the Lord. It's a very personal relationship, intimate relationship that we have and can have with our Lord Jesus Christ. The more we read His Word, the more we pray, the more we serve, the more we realize and how He can transform our lives. So if you would join me, either by the screen or by your Bible, if you rather follow along with me, in John chapter 20, beginning with John verse 19, and I will begin there. Jesus is among His disciples. He has appeared to them again. And our Scripture, just follow along and visualize in your mind what's taking place as the disciples and even Thomas realizes that Jesus is alive and what transpires after that. So begin with verse 19. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, which would be Sunday, when the doors were shut where the disciples were for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And in the Hebrew, that's shalom. Peace be with you. And when He had said this, He showed them both His hands and His side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Demetrius, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen Him." But he said to them, "Unless I see His hands and the imprint of the nails, and put my finger in His place of the nails, and put my hand into His side, I will not believe." After 8 days, His disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Now, visualize, the doors were shut, they were locked, but the disciples' fear of the authorities, but Jesus appeared to them. In verse 27, then He said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand to put into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to Him, "My Lord, my God." What a moment He turned doubt into joy. In verse 28, Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are those who did not see, but yet believed. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book." If you read the last verse of chapter 21, it says that all the things that Jesus did, and all the signs and wonders and all the ministries he did, could not be contained in this book. And that is true. In verse 30, "Therefore many other signs Jesus performed in the presence of the disciples, which was not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." You know, John gives us a picture of what was taking place with the disciples and those who witnessed his resurrection here in the very beginning of the scriptures. But if you notice here in verse 31, he provided salvation. He said, you know, "Here I share about my resurrection." And John was talking about Jesus, his resurrection, that he is alive. And he was sharing that so that it would transform their lives in such a wonderful way. Now, when you think about Jesus' transforming lives, he is still doing that today. You know, in our Good News Club, we see kids being transformed every time they come to our class and they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are so excited. And one of these days, they may be, you know, missionaries or church leaders or something like that. So you see how God uses our lives to transform other people's lives who believe. And so when we look in the first few verses, 19 through 23, we see that as the scriptures relate to what was taking place on this day and the days after the resurrection, and this portrays what was taking place after Jesus' resurrection. There had a few days gone by. Jesus was on this earth 40 days before he ascended to the Heavenly Father. So a lot of things took place between the time Jesus rose from the grave and when he ascended to the Heavenly Father. So when the first news got out that Jesus had arose, there was some hesitation to believe. And the Bible says even one of Jesus' disciples named Thomas, Demetrius, he said, I'm not going to believe this until I see his nail prints in his hands and his pierced side. So there was some skeptic there. There was some doubt. But you know, in these verses, it tells us that he came to them. Jesus came to them to reassure, you know, not only just to show himself, but he came to them. You know, Jesus comes to us today to give us hope and to remove any doubt and replace it with joy. You know, the Bible says, Jesus says, "I want to make your joy complete," and you can have abundant joy in your relationship with me. Jesus has spent many, many years preparing himself for those 3.5 years that he spent providing miracles and signs and wonders to people, healing them, meeting every need that they ever had in their lives. Even the disciples, they were with him day in, day out, just like the Spirit is with us each day, helping us to understand or removing any doubt that Satan may place in our lives. But now we see here that in these few verses here, that Jesus transformed the people's life. He removed the fear and replaced it with joy. Now, it says that Jesus appeared. He showed up in the room where the disciples were. Can you imagine that? You're in a room, a few of it, and then Jesus just showed up. And it says they were afraid. Well, even though some of the disciples knew, and even Peter knew that Jesus had risen and he saw him for himself, the others were kind of shocked. But Jesus, even though he was able to transcend and go in and out as he pleased, he still had a physical body. You know, that of the laws of nature that we, you know, we understand. And yet, he was able to come and go as he pleased, because not only that, but he had a transformed body himself. So, when he entered the room, the cultural, the nature of people greeting one another back then was peace. You see, they had fear, they had doubt, they had a lot of reservations in their mind what is taking place. The death, they witnessed that. Well, not the disciples, but those that were there. Only John witnessed Jesus' death. And therefore, they were skeptic about what was taking place. But then he offers them peace. He said, not as the world offers, but peace I give to you. Peace from me, peace from the Heavenly Father. You know, that's the peace that the world's seeking today, isn't it? You know, we can have that peace because we know the Lord Jesus Christ offers that. It's that peace, as Paul says, that surpasses all understanding. We might not understand a lot of things, but when you have perfect peace, you know, you're calm, you're collected, you know you're secure in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's very important. So we can have peace with God. And that's the only true peace that we can have. You know, the world is praying for peace. We pray for peace. And we'll never find it completely here in this world in which we know. Because there's so many people, there's so many organizations, there's so many things that's working against that peace that we know that we can have and others can have in Jesus Christ. But God says, you can have peace with me. And that's what he was offering them in order that they may know and erase any fear and transform it into joy. And there's a second thing I want us to look at, and that is Jesus transforms people from doubt. Doubt can do many things to our minds, can't it? It can cause us to not believe in things that we know that are true. And here, Jesus had appeared to many of the disciples, all except Thomas. For some reason, Thomas wasn't with them. He was probably, I don't know if he was out fishing. I don't know if Thomas was a fisherman or whatever he was doing. He was out doing something else when Jesus met with the disciples the first time. And you know what? And that's the way Scripture fulfills itself. There was a reason Thomas wasn't there. You know? And we cannot say, oh, Thomas, he's a doubting Thomas. He was of little faith and everything. But you know what? When I think about Thomas, he wanted to experience seeing Jesus himself. He wanted a visual contact. How many of us are like that sometimes? Somebody might tell you something. You say, oh, I don't know about that. If I see it, I'll believe it, right? Yeah. Well, Jesus said, believing is seeing.
Yes, right.
And that's what I like. You know, anything Scripture says, I believe it. Amen?
Amen.
And sometimes if I know a person or know a situation I'm not sure of, I want to know firsthand, right? If you know it firsthand, you know it's real. And sometimes if you don't know it firsthand, you want to check it out. Yeah. Okay? Well, that's what Thomas was doing. You know, his faith might have been a little weak. He might have been one of those, I've got to have proof. But you know what? Jesus came to him. He didn't rebuke him. He didn't put him down. He said, here, Thomas, look for yourself. Look, I'm real. The scars are real. The nail prints, the pierce in the side. And when he did, you know, he said, oh, Lord, my God, my God, my Lord, my God. There it is. Oh, Lord, my God. See, it affirmed. Probably back in the back of Thomas's mind, he wanted to believe firsthand, just like the disciples, because there was five different witnesses. You know, it started with Mary Magdalene, and then the disciples, then the two Emmaus believers or disciples also saw. And there was many others. Peter himself saw for himself. But yet Thomas. And there's many skeptics in this world today, you know it? That don't believe still in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are other proofs and so forth. And they have a list of conditions and things that they want checked off before they believe. But you see, Jesus comes to us. He came to Thomas to show him that he was alive. And then the third thing here, we see that Jesus transforms lives and people's lives, death to life. See, the Bible is very clear that every person who is not saved does not have joy, faith, or eternal life. And that's what John is referring to in this last verse, verse 31. He said, there's many people in this world. And that's why Jesus gave the command right here in this chapter that, you know, you have an awesome responsibility from this point on. Yes, I came to this world. God sent me into this world to be the Redeemer, the Savior of this world. But I'm going back to the Father. And he spent 40 days on this earth witnessing and testifying and showing his presence and reaffirming his resurrection. But looking at his disciples, his close companions, those who were closest to him, who loved him and he loved them, he came to them as he comes to us to reassure them. But he said, you know, my disciples, you have an awesome responsibility, even greater than what I have done, as you will be witnesses to all the people in the world. Now I want you to go. It's not if you go, but as you go. It's like you will go. And that affirmation, turning that doubt into joy, reaffirmed to Peter and all the other disciples when they saw Jesus going, ascending back into heaven, that affirmed what Jesus had been telling them this whole time. Yes, I'm going to suffer for the cause. You know, when he met with them at the Feast of the Passover, again, he reminded them, but it still hadn't registered with them. But now that he had risen from the grave, appeared to them, reassured them, and give them that command, now they knew this is real. It's real for us today. That same command is still real for us as we are to go out and tell others about Christ. Now, when we think about what's taking place in this world today, you know, in James chapter 2, verse 19, tells us that the devils have a kind of faith. And there's two types of faith in this world. intellectual faith. You know, we store it up in our minds. We know about it. We've seen it. It's affirmed in our mind. But just seeing is one thing. But intellectual faith is good. But it has, and that's what John is revealing to us here in this last verse, verse 31. There's an intellectual faith, but there's another type of faith. There's a saving faith that we must have in Jesus Christ. Just knowing about Jesus Christ, you see, the devils, Satan, was there when Jesus was crucified. They were there when he was placed in the grave. They were there when he was raised from the grave. They were there and they witnessed everything, but did they believe? Are they saved? No, they're not. But you know, John says, if you believe, you can have intellectual faith. You can know about all of these things. You know, Satan and the devils, they believe, but they tremble because they do not have that saving faith. And here, John is offering saving faith to all of us. See, and I want to ask you this morning, are you going to heaven when you die? Do you know? We can know. See, there's that intellectual faith, but there's that saving faith. And this is merely ascending the facts of history, intellectual faith. The Bible was full. Many of those who attested Jesus, his authority. But they believe intellectually. They say the things that you say are good. They're good. We know about them. But there was doubt. There's heresy in their lives, and they did not believe. So, this morning, you know, Jesus came so you and I could have life abundantly, so that we could have eternally. The 10 disciples, they were transformed from doubt and fear to joy. That's important for us, isn't it? Joy, true joy comes from Jesus Christ. And then Thomas was transformed from doubt to faith. You know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. See, that's where, you know, when I was very young, when I was a kid, you know, my faith continued to grow from when I was very small through my teenage years to even now, because reading the scriptures transforms your life. It helps you to grow. It helps you with erasing doubt, and it returns and gives you fear. And then here, the doubt helps our faith when we believe in Jesus Christ. It removes the doubt and replaces it with faith. And then John invites you and me to believe Jesus Christ, and that transforms us from death to life. See, death originated in the Garden of Eden. That's where it originated. Now, I was talking to someone this past week. We was talking about all the things going on in the world, the sin and all of those, and somebody looked at me and said, did that start in the Garden of Eden? I said, I believe you're right. And it will continue. Sin after sin after sin will continue one of these days until Jesus comes back and once and for all, where he died once and for all for our sins, that he would erase the sins of this world who believed in him. So that's why the affirmation of the scriptures about Paul says about Jesus, according to the scriptures, he rose again. And these three things, these three transformations are very important for you and me in our lives today. You know, If we have weak faith, it can be erased and replaced with joy and our faith and the assurance of salvation, as John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." You know, back in John chapter 3, John wrote about that. "For God so loved the world." And there he's saying, if you believe, here in verse 31, if you believe in your heart, you believe unto salvation. And salvation leads to eternal life. We cannot comprehend the love of Jesus. Again, we celebrated, had our agape meal on Thursday evening. And the agape meal, I was sharing, the agape means unconditional love. That's the type of love that we, you and I, are to share with one another, towards one another. And the meal is the feast of the Passover. But the great love that Jesus sent is the agape love. And a lot of times we share that phileo love, which is the Greek name for another type of friendship love. We share that. But the love of God, the agape love, the unconditional love, is the greatest. It is the greatest. And we are to pass that along to one another. And what a glorious day to do that. Amen? To pass on that agape love of Jesus Christ. He affirmed it. He came to disciples and those to affirm his resurrection. And he is coming to us today to affirm and to replace any doubt with joy and to give us faith, to help us increase our faith by trusting and believing that everything in his word is true. If we do that, he will honor us by the blessings untold. He will transform our lives. And I hope he has yours. And it has increased your faith on this very day, this resurrection day. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. We thank you that you have given us life through Jesus Christ, your Son. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that has any doubt about their relationship with you, Lord, they can renew that, or they can have that personal relationship with you this very moment as we sing our song. Maybe, Lord, I mean, we don't even have to sing. You can transform a life, and you forgive us of our sin, but just acknowledging we need to confess and repent of our sin. When we leave this world, we've lost all hope without you. But with you, Lord, then we have gained eternal life. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us here today that has heard your message, may we respond openly and sensitive and be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. May our hearts truly be open to your Spirit as we sing this invitation now. It's your invitation, but we have to respond openly by surrendering and yielding to your Spirit. Lord, we praise you and we thank you in your Son's precious name. Amen.